So coffee. Coffee, okay, you can ask a non-Jew to make coffee for you. You can go, yeah, why? Because it's water. It's primarily, the main ingredient is water. True, the coffee, the beans give it the taste. And the beans couldn't have been eaten raw. And these are things which are Ola Shulchan Melachim, it is eaten with royalty. But nonetheless, because the main ingredient is the water, therefore it's considered fine. The same applies, by the way, to beer. Same thing with beer, which is why you can have a beer. Okay, you're allowed to have a beer. In Tosfot, in Avodah Zarah, he brings down that people used to go regularly to the and drink beer with the Goyim. Okay, but that's, maybe we'll touch on that next week about drinking alcohol and beer with Goyim, but beer is definitely fine. There's no problem with Bishul Akum because of the primary ingredient is the water. Yeah? Eggs, potatoes, meat and chicken. These are all things which have to be cooked by a Jew. Okay? Meat, chicken, potatoes and eggs. These are things which can't be eaten raw. These are things which are Olei HaShulchan Melachim. They are eaten with royalty. And therefore, these things have to be cooked. I'm going to talk about number five, about maids. I'll talk about that later on. We have to be so careful about this, people don't realize. Snacks are all fine. Popcorn, crisps, these are all things which are permissible. One may eat, and a non-Jew may make them for you. Chocolate as well. A person is allowed to eat chocolate because that's a snack most of the time, and therefore it's not Olei HaShulchan Melachim. Okay, we're leaving the milk. Yeah, of course, milk we'll talk about next week. You know, Chalav HaKom we'll discuss next time. The carrots, green peas, cabbage and mushrooms. These are just examples. These are all things which can be eaten raw, and therefore one may ask a non-Jew to cook for you. Canned corn, like we said before, the corn is canned, and therefore it's not Olei HaShulchan Melachim. Therefore one is allowed to buy corn.
So a non-Jew can cook it, even turn the fire on.
Corn. What do you mean? Canned corn.
But these things that the non-Jew can cook for you.
Not all. Which ones?
Like
which
carrots, green peas.
Yes,
carrots.
For sure.
Even make them turn on 100%. The fire.
100%. Because it's eaten raw. Canned corn. You can. Yeah.
So canned potatoes as well.
You'd have to just verify how they can it, but I imagine yes, because they probably cook it in the thing.
In the can.
In the can. That would be fine. If they're cooking it in the can, then it's fine. Now canned tuna, so as I told you before, they cook it before, and that would be a problem, but nonetheless it would still be fine, because like we said, tuna today is something which is eaten raw, therefore it's not a problem. So however, I wouldn't advocate John West tuna, buying it, simply not because of Bishul Akum, but more importantly because of the kashrut issues, and they not sure it's kasher, because you know 100 tuna, there are 11 types of tuna. Okay, there are 11 types of tuna, and although they say that the majority is from skipjack, which is a kasher fish, but you can't be 100% certain, and therefore it's definitely advisable to buy tuna with ekshar and not rely on tuna without ekshar. But corn and these types of things do not need ekshar, because like we said, they are fine. Beetroots. This is very interesting, and people have told me about this. Apparently in many restaurants now, beetroot is being served raw.
Oh, yeah.
It's become a new delicacy now, being served raw. And therefore, according to that, beetroot can be, you can ask a goat to cook you beetroot, no problem with that. You always have to think, and therefore you can see here...
Some greengrocers have cooked beetroot, you can just go and buy that.
Yeah.
Cooked beetroot?
In the greengrocers,
yeah.
They sell cooked beetroot.
You see, greengrocers is problematic. Because the greengrocer, where has he cooked it?
No,
you can't rely on cooking in the back, because who knows what they've cooked in the back?
But it's water,
but they may have cooked it half an hour ago and they have cooked something else there. Only professional places, factories, where they're producing, then you can, but you can't just walk into someone's shop who's got cooking things in the back. That's a huge problem now, because the utensils may be trafe.
Let's say from Asda, cooked beetroot will be fine?
Yeah. Yeah, if it's plain, it'll be fine. No problem at all.
Cooked beetroot.
Yeah, if it's plain, no ingredients.
Yeah, they have like shrimp wrap, don't they? They have it like shrimp wrap. Yeah, cabbage.
But cabbage, you don't have to check. What about checking the... Yeah, cabbage you could. What about the checking? Yeah, fine. Now what's the problem? Yeah? Always you have to remember, if it's something which is eaten raw, then there shouldn't be a problem. Now, number five, this is an important point, and unfortunately I think lots of people stumble with this. people have a home, non-Jewish cleaners or au pairs or maids, okay? And almost in short, they're not, and very often, you know, mothers with children and are, they ask them to cook, and you know, that's a problem. You cannot ask them to cook this food for you if it's food, like, you know, it's going to be like chicken or meat, something like that. Your rice, yeah? Rice isn't eaten raw. Thank you. Rice isn't eaten raw. Rice isn't eaten raw, and it's Olah Shulchan Melachim. These things you can't ask the au pair. What can you do? What can you do? For us, we Sfaradim have to be machmir. It's not enough just to switch the fire on and let the non-Jew do what they want the whole day. It doesn't work like that. What has to happen is that at the very least you put the pot on. Okay? If you switch the, ignite the fire and you put the pot on, then that's already called a significant contribution, and that suffices for it to be considered Bishul Yisrael and Mutar. If you stir as well, even if you didn't put the pot on. But once you put the pot on, putting the pot on is significant enough. What you're talking about stirring is when the goy has put the pot on, then you can contribute by stirring the food and getting involved in the cooking. Right? But if you yourself put the pot onto the fire, that's sufficient for Shulchan Aruch for it to be considered Bishul Yisrael, and that would be fine. So therefore, if one wants to ask a non-Jew to look after the food, that's fine. There are a pair at home to look after the food, that's fine. But just ensure that you don't just switch the fire on. You also actually putting the food on. Now, to employ people,
like providing
to,
it's one of the foods that's not correct. On your list.
Yeah, well, not well. This list is different, but not all the things on the list are fine. Yeah,
she
can do that by herself. No problem at all. One other thing you have to be aware of is that, and this is. Chavaya has a teshuvah about this as well. He was asked about this, and this is a big problem for us. Eating out in restaurants here in Golders Green, Hendon, or anywhere in England really, even if it's Goy Hechsher, really it's a problem for us. Because it's difficult to employ someone to be there on site all the time. And every time the Goyim want to cook food, you have to go and put the pot on the fire. For Ashkenazim it's fine, because they switch on the fire in the morning, and that's it. Even more than that, today they have these pilot ovens. They switch on once every few months. Yeah, it stays on the whole time. It's more expensive to switch off on weekends it's more expensive to switch off. So they keep it on all the time. So they go there. This is what they do, KLB. They go to these places, the bread, and they switch it on once or a few months, and that's it. That's not sufficient for us. For us, each time the food has to be put onto the fire, and therefore, eating in restaurants, although they've got the best texture, kadati, or whatever you want, whatever you call the best texture, SKA maybe, whatever it is, then the problem is that it's not sufficient because of the problem of Bishul Akum. They're not putting
the bakeries are not kosher.
So what do you do?
No, bakery is something else. Bakery section 2. Bakery is different
halakha. For you go and then turn it over.
So what can you do? Chaim Avadia said, he was asked about this, what can you do? And he said that if necessary one can be lenient. Due to the fact he makes a sfek sfeika, I'll mention it very briefly. Safek with halakha, like the Shulchan Aruch or the Ramah, whether you need to have putting the pot on or not. And even if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, you have to actually put the pot on, there is another opinion in the Rishonim, which we don't follow by itself, which holds that if you have an employee, you have somebody working for you on a large scale, that's not considered Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum is when somebody personally does it for you, in his house or in your house.
Home, yeah.
But when it's done in a wholesale or in a business format, then Bishul Akam doesn't apply to that. So once we show him the Ravad held, if you're paying him for it, it's not considered Bishul Akam. Now if we don't follow that, but both of these two points together, because there's no alternative, we do eat out in restaurants, and we know that's the norm today. But you will find people who won't eat out in these restaurants because of this point that the pots on themselves cooked. Yeah?
But they can't go in there and...
That's what happens. So people do, like an egg, for example. If you ask for an egg, you can just go in, put the egg on, and then that's it. And then it's definitely fine, even according to the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. A very interesting halakha number 7 is that there's no need to kasher utensils. There is a need to kasher utensils. If a guy cooked meat in your pot when he's not allowed to, okay, then that meat, the pot now becomes non-kasher, and you have to kasher it. But very interestingly, we find a exceptional halakha with Bishul Akum. If he cooked something in a type of vessel, utensil, which cannot be kashered, like earthenware, what's the halakha normally? You have to throw it away. But because this is only midrabanan, if it's something which cannot be kashered, then Hachamim said it's fine, you can rely on the original on the normal forms of kashering, and you can kasher. So if something was cooked bishalakim, even in a type of thing which normally is absorbent fully and cannot be kashered, you still can continue using it if necessary.
You have to kasher it.
Hagala. The point is, you can do hagala. Though normally, other way you can't, but here you can because it's only midrabbanan. Let's just talk about bread a bit, and we'll stop and take questions. So, bread, there are many more leniences because it's the staple diet. Okay, and we're going to talk about King's Mill and Warburton's. We'll talk about that briefly as well. So, because bread is a staple diet, there are many more leniences. And there is different terms. There's Pat Israel, there's Pat Paltar, and there's Pat Ba'al HaBayit. Pat Israel means bread baked by a Jew. Pat Paltar means bread baked by a bakery, okay, on a commercial basis. And Pat Ba'al HaBayit means bread baked for a family. And then he invites you to go and eat the bread with you. So Pat Ba'al HaBayit is absolutely never permitted. Even if you know for sure his utensils are all fine, he's just bought a new oven and he's cooking the bread for his family and he invites you in to go and cook the bread with him, that's strictly prohibited. You can never ever eat unless it's sakat hafashot, of course, if there's none to eat, obviously. But generally speaking, you cannot eat bread cooked by a Jew, cooked by a non-Jew, when he's cooked it, not for commercial purposes. He's cooked it for his own family and he invites you in, that's forbidden to eat. Pat Paltar means bread cooked by a bakery. And this, again, we Sfaradim Amu Mahmir. This is very interesting. When it comes to food, okay, when it comes to halachot with non-Jews, you'll find, very interestingly, that very often Shulchan Aruch is more Mahmir than the Ramah. And it's been suggested, the reason being, of course, these are based on the understanding in the Gemara, but the Rambam, where the Shulchan Aruch gets his halachot from most of the time, the Rambam lived with people, Muslims, who he had more of interaction with. Whereas Tosfot and Ashkenazim were living with Christians who had absolutely no connection with. And therefore for the Rambam and the Rishonim living in Spain, they had a far more concern of intermarriage than our brothers in France and England did. Right? The Rishonim in England and in France, like Tosfot, they had no connection at all with the Christians. The Christians, in fact, were constantly persecuting them. Throughout this, you know, but we in Spain until 1492, things were pretty good. Well, yeah, relatively, and so therefore the concern was far more. And therefore, when it comes to things like Bishul Akum, when it comes to Patakum, when it comes to Yai Nesech, you will find the Sfaradim are much more Mahmir than Ashkenazim. This is another example. Patakum here with the bread, we are more Mahmir, and we hold that with bread, if it's been cooked by a non-Jew, even on a commercial basis, one shouldn't have it unless there is no Pat Israel, there is no bread baked by a Jew, within 18 minutes walk from you. Okay? So therefore, if you're in, for us, Faradim, we're living here in Golders Green, Hendon, then there is bread around, there's Wojcinski's and this and that, and therefore one should refrain from buying bread like Kingsmill. So Kingsmill has a Hechsher on it. Okay? Kingsmill has a Hechsher on it. Warburton's has a Hechsher on it. Hovis now has a Hechsher on it. Yeah, all these Hechsherim are doing are they're just saying that they've been to the production, everything's fine. They're not giving a Hechsher for the actual baking itself. Okay, now they are talking about one of them, about usually because of the pilot light, they are talking about it now, making it actually Pat Israel. At the moment, it's still Patakum. And what that means is that if you're away on holiday somewhere in the summer, and you can go to Sainsbury's, you can go to Tesco and buy Kingsmill bread. Because you know certainly it's fine, no problem with it, it's got Hechsher. But it's not Pat Israel. But nonetheless, because you don't have in your radius, you don't have the bread available, one is allowed to buy it.
Even a French stick, which is not Warburton or anything like that, but no Hechsher at all.
So that's the thing, in France, Everyone eats all the Jews from religiously because the reason being seems to be because the bagels there, the baguettes there, they know for sure nothing's being added to it. But you have to be careful. Sometimes they add exactly, yeah. You have to be very careful with that. And I don't know exactly how it works in France, but when I've been there, I've seen very religious people. Everyone having baguettes. No,
So no, we're taking patas from just one category. So, for example, crumpets. Yeah?
Well,
like, you can get them from Warburton.
Well, crumpets?
It's a round, like a pancake, but higher with holes. Yeah? You can't get kosher ones. So, it's a kind of one you cannot get kosher.
So, if you can't get it kosher, it's fine, but they have to check the ingredients, though.
Yeah.
100% is fine. Yeah. You can buy it. You can buy it here.
Right.
You have a look at the next point. Yeah. So if it's something which is, by the way, even if it's something tastier. So, for example, Ravita didn't used to have a hechsher on it. 10, 20 years ago, Ravita didn't used to have a kelvi hechsher on it. It's a new thing, the kelvi hechsher. I remember when I was young, they didn't used to have a... But still you could buy it because there was no equivalent of it. Right? Therefore you could buy it. Right? Jacob's crackers. Again, now it has a hechsher. It didn't used to have a hechsher on it. Because if it's tastier, it's a specific brand, and you want it, then that's fine, and one doesn't have to buy a type of cracker which he doesn't enjoy as much. Which he doesn't enjoy as much. Having said that, of course, according to the Kabbalah, you should never have pate akum. According to the Kabbalah, you should never have. But that's, I'm telling you the halachot now, according to the Pshat. And what's the definition of pate? If you have a look here on number two. You've got here pies, crackers, pretzels, flatbreads, Melba toast, pita, breadsticks, bagels. These are all types of things which are fall under the criteria of pat, and therefore are subject to what we've said. And pancakes and blintzes will depend on how it's cooked. If it's cooked deep fry in oil, that's going to fall under bishul. If it's just cooked, however, just with a bit of oil, just to enjoy, that's definitely fine. Then now fall under pat, that'll be fine. All cereals, mezonot cereals, all fall under pat akum. This is why we buy cereal from Tesco, right? Because we know the ingredients. There's no hechsher on cereals. We know the ingredients, right? Nothing wrong with ingredients. It's pat akum. There's no equivalent of it. Why can you buy Weetabix from Tesco? Why? Because we know the ingredients, and it's patakum, and there's no equivalent of it. Anything with bread, there's no equivalent, you're allowed to buy. Now, if you were to have someone who was to start now making Weetabix with the hechsher here, and selling it here, and it was of the same quality, and the same price, then we would have to stop buying Weetabix from Tesco.
What about the pasta?
What about the pasta? Is it
you're allowed to buy it because it may be tastier?
If it's something which does it really taste better? Yeah. No, but you have a potential problem with patakum. Yeah. If however it's tastier or it's cheaper, significantly cheaper. Then the prohibition of pat akum doesn't apply. Okay, and so I imagine that the pasta.
What about the bread? You can buy it for half the price if it's Warburton compared to.
You're going to know, you're right. You're right.
So you're right. But you're saying there's a cooking.
You're right, 100%. I've had that problem. Yeah, you're right. I didn't want to say it, but you're right. 100%. Because. That which Shulchan Aruch says you have to go 18 minutes, he says very clearly it's only when they are equal. The pies are equal, and that's equal, the Chonim speak out, equal in taste and equal in price, only then you have to go the effort.
You can't buy any bread.
No, I'm talking about...
Because sometimes they...
They add things to it, yeah.
You
throw
in your house and it's not kosher bread.
No. Warburton has a hechsher on it. Hovis is a Kingswood all have hechsher on it today. SK has, Kingswood has SK on it. Yeah?
Non-Jewish meat.
It means the green is all fine, but it's non-Jewish meat. It's been baked by a non-Jew.
That's
not mine.
By famous, 1960,
yeah, we'll talk about milk next time.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's easy to buy kosher milk. The question is, there are some, again, the question is, for example, does a Kit Kat have the same taste as a Kit Kat? That's the question we have to discuss next time. Yeah?
What's the shulakum on pasta?
It's patakum.
Why?
Because the wheat. No, patakum means all mezonot, all types of five grains. wheat, barley, these types, that all falls under patakum. Okay?
But I'm talking about you're buying dry pasta,
yeah.
You're going to cook it. It's the process of making pasta involves cooking.
Have they not?
Is this the dry pasta you buy, the spaghetti, the different kinds of pasta?
Yeah, you've got to put it in hot water.
No, no, before. Is it they not have
the. Oh. Ah, I can make it.
Before the, when it's in the packet, it's dry. Yeah, he's right. So there's absolutely no problem at all. Yeah, even if you're right, no problem at all, 100%. But even without that, 100%. Even without that, it would be probably cheaper, so it'd be fine. Yeah. In conclusion, I'll now take any specific questions that we have. But just to summarize what we've said, we talked about the concept of hechsherim, and we talked about bishul akum and then patakum. Any grains all fall under patakum, and we're talking about grains that falls under patakum, and then you've got the leniencies which we've said. If you've got an equivalent of a non-Jewish one with kosher ingredients, then you don't have to buy with a hechsher. You don't have to buy with pat Israel. But when it comes to bishul, if they have the two conditions of it's not eaten raw and it's not olah shuham elachim, then even if you have no equivalent, you can't rely on it. And it's forbidden to ask a non-Jew to cook for you. So let's just take any questions and
Right, it's supposed to have a cake base with orange and chocolate topping.
Yeah, that would fall under patakum, I would imagine. That would fall under patakum.
No.
It would fall under patakum, therefore there's no equivalent.
Yes.
It's made out of it. But again, the ingredients are kosher.
As long as you check the ingredients.
And everything's fine. Then patakum.
It might be milky because the chocolate might have a milk content.
Okay, that's another thing you have to be careful about. Assuming all the ingredients are fine.
Yeah.
Assuming they're all fine, that would be patakum, and therefore you would be allowed to buy
it. So that Nice biscuits, you know, like the sugary biscuits and all that, you can buy at Tesco at 20 pence a packet. Right? They have equivalents, but not as nice, three times the price, five times the price.
What's, again, the ingredients, what about the ingredients?
Yeah, the ingredients will be okay. Let's, assuming all is fine, yeah?
Yeah. Biscuits all fall under patakum, and if there is don't have the same equivalent of taste and practice in the start.
My wife should have come to this.
Just like Revita, just like Jacob's crackers, all these things we used to buy, all cereals, exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's recorded.
Okay, we'll take a couple of questions and we'll end. Yeah.
What about pita bread? Muslim shop.